Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue on with our study of the seven feasts of Israel given in Leviticus 23. And just to remind you, we are approaching these feasts through a prophetic and messianic perspective. In other words, these seven feasts are more than just ritual observances of Old Testament Judaism. Rather, they are types and shadows prophesying the Messiah's person, work, and ministry from Calvary to the kingdom. That is, these feasts adumbrate events that characterized both the first and second comings of Messiah, the Messiah being the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had just finished studying the Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot. And now we begin our study of Rosh Hashanah, or what is also called the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. Rosh Hashanah and the Feast of Trumpets occur concurrently. Rosh Hashanah is from the Hebrew meaning the first day of the year, or the beginning of the year. And in Israel's religious calendar, Rosh Hashanah announced the new year with the blowing of trumpets. The trumpets signified that the old year has ended and the new year has now begun. We find the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus 23, verses 23 and 25. There the Lord tells Moses to speak to the children of Israel, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." So here in verses 23 through 25 of Leviticus 23, we have the divine command for the celebrating of the Feast of Trumpets. And let me just say that this feast is a prophetic depiction of the future regathering of dispersed Israel. And if we look at these feasts from a dispensational point of view, we will notice that a great interval, a parenthetical gap, elapsed and exists between Shavuot, Pentecost, and the Feast of Trumpets. And some dispensationalists believe that this answers, in the words of C.I. Schofield, that this answers to the period occupied in the work of the Holy Spirit in the church age. And I think that view is certainly warranted here, dispensationally speaking. Remember, Shavuot was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven and poured out the Holy Spirit on Peter and the audience he was preaching to on the day of Pentecost, which was the birthday of the church. And so Pentecost was fulfilled on that day, and it signified the first fruits of the greater harvest to come, namely the spring and summer harvest. And what has happened since the day of Pentecost in Acts 2? Well, a great harvest of souls has been gathered and won to the Lord Jesus Christ, starting with the Jewish apostles in the early church. And this great ingathering of souls for Christ that characterizes the church age has been occurring since that time when Shavuot was fulfilled in Acts 2, almost 2,000 years ago. And so we have this great interval occurring. And then the festival calendar resumes with the sound of a trumpet. What a parallel to what's going to happen next on God's calendar for the church. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 18, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57, that when the Lord Jesus comes for His church, He will announce His coming for them with the blast of the trumpet. And what will occur? The dead in Christ will be raised first, and then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So this will be the beginning of the first resurrection. And all those who've died believing in Christ, and those who are alive at that time, we will be ingathered to the air to be with the Lord. And so we have two types of regathering, two types of regatherings here, I should say, preceded and precipitated by the blast of the trumpet. We have the trumpet blast and prophecy that will signal the God's regathering of the Jews back into their ancient homeland for the reconstitution of Israel. That started in May of 1948 and continues today. And then we will have, yet to be in the future, we will have the trumpet blast of the rapture of the church. So basically, this feast, the Feast of Trumpets, prophetically symbolizes and signifies these two things. And we're going to get into that in more detail in our study of the Feast of Trumpets. And so, the church age began with the fulfillment of Shavuot, Pentecost, and Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit was poured out to form the New Testament church. And the church will experience, separately from regathered Israel, they will experience the Feast of Trumpets when the trumpet blast of the rapture event occurs and we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So we're going to look at this, the Feast of Trumpets and its dual fulfillment with regard to the restoration and regathering of the Jews back to the land of Israel. And we'll also look at this feast as being fulfilled, or will be fulfilled, with the rapture of the church. Both signal events, and major events in Bible prophecy will be prefaced with the blowing of the trumpet. As we look at this more closely, I want to give you a background for the significance of trumpets in the life of ancient Israel, and indeed still today in Judaism. The trumpet plays a significant role in their religious life. The trumpet, or what's more commonly called the shofar, which is a ram's horn curled and used to blow and signal various events in Israel's history. And the shofar is also used and blown to serve various functions. And that's what we're going to look at today, the background for the use of trumpets in Israel. The specific scriptures dealing with the Feast of Trumpets are found in Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25, which I just read you, Numbers 29, 1 through 6 as well. And so because this day, this feast day, is called the Feast of Trumpets, or a memorial of blowing of trumpets to assemble a holy convocation, I think it's important that we should look and examine the background for the use of trumpets in Israel. First of all, the scripture tells us that there were basically two kinds of trumpets in Israel. There were the silver trumpets, obviously made from the metal, the precious metal of silver. And there was the shofar trumpet, made of ram's horns. Now, the trumpet of ram's horns, and due to constraint of time, I can't go through all the scriptures with you on this type of horn, but the ram's horn trumpet is found in Exodus 19:16, Exodus 20:18, Leviticus 25:9, Joshua 6:14-13, and verse 20, 1 Samuel 2:1, 1 Chronicles 25:5. This horn, rabbis believe, the ram's horn, came from the same sacrifice, either from the bullock or the ram, that was used, that was sacrificed in the temple to atone for Israel's sins. And these horns, called the shofar, were especially used to... They were specifically used to announce God's presence or His power. One of the first times we witness this in Scripture is with the fall of the walls of Jericho. Remember, they were commanded to blast the sound of the shofar. They were to march around the city seven times and blast the shofar as they were doing this. And once the blasting of the shofars was accomplished, the walls of Jericho fell down, miraculously fell down, I might add, and archaeology confirms that. When they excavated ancient Jericho in the mid-1950s, they discovered an anomaly in the walls. What do I mean by that? Well, they discovered that the walls had been breached, that a siege had occurred. Yet the walls did not fall within. And by that I mean when an invading army would come, they would breach the walls and the walls would fall in towards the inhabitants of Jericho. No, they found the walls had fallen out away from the inhabitants of Jericho, thus suggesting that the walls fell from within, and once they fell on the outside. So that obviously indicated that the walls did not fall by human invasion. They just fell. And we know why they fell, because the power of God brought those walls down so that Joshua and the armies of Israel could conquer and occupy the land that God had given them. And of course, that great miraculous event was signaled by the blowing of the trumpet or the shofar. Now let's talk about the trumpets of silver. The trumpets of silver. This type of trumpet, again, is mentioned throughout the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. We find it mentioned in Numbers 10, verses 2, 8, and 9, and 29:1. 2 Chronicles 5, 12-13. Psalm 98:6. The silver trumpets were made from silver because silver was to be the symbol of the price of redemption. Remember in Exodus 30, God required that the children of Israel pay silver for the redemption of every male Israelite. In Exodus 30, we read of that. The children of Israel were to redeem the soul with payment in silver. God said in Numbers 30:13, "This is what everyone among those who are numbered that shall give, a half shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord." And this half shekel was to be of silver. Silver. That means, of course, that redemption has been paid for everybody. So, Some speculate that the silver trumpets perhaps were also used from the half shekels collected, that were made out of silver, for the redemption of every male Israelite. The silver shekel was therefore used as a ransom or the atonement money for the souls of Israel. And it certainly is possible, as the rabbis have speculated, that the two trumpets made from one piece of silver actually came from the atonement money mentioned in Exodus chapter 30. Two trumpets of silver also appear prominently in the scriptures. They were made for the various callings in Israel. Again, the number two, as we have discovered before, is the number of divine witness or testimony, or a valid witness concerning a case or an issue. The scripture says, remember in Deuteronomy 17:6, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so, Jesus in John 8 uses the twofold witness when he says, if you do not believe me, believe the works that I do, and that they themselves testify that my Father has sent me to you to redeem you as the Son of God. Perhaps the two trumpets also stand for the two peoples who will go up in the rapture when the church is caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And that would be both Jew and Gentile believer. Two ethnic peoples, yet they have been made one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are redeemed. They are redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. So now let's look at some of the various functions of the trumpet used in Scripture. First of all, we know that the trumpet was used in Scripture to sound the prophetic word of warning to Israel, to warn of imminent destruction, invasion, or judgment. Remember, God commanded Isaiah to lift up his voice like a trumpet. He told Isaiah 58:1, and he told the same to Hosea in Hosea 8:1. And in doing so, he was to declare the transgressions of his people. Not a popular thing to do nowadays. If you dare sound the trumpet against the sins of the church or the nation or a person's life, you will be roundly criticized, falsely accused of being self-righteous and holier than thou. But that is part of the ministry of the New Testament believer, the minister of Christ. He is to warn of the consequences of sin and unbelief and apostasy. And like a trumpet, he is to declare God's word on these matters. So the trumpet was used to symbolize the prophetic voice, the spoken word of the Lord, to warn of judgment, invasion, and catastrophe. Remember in Ezekiel 33, the Lord warned the prophet Ezekiel. He warned him and told him to be a watchman to Israel and blow the trumpet voice of warning to them, to call them to repentance and faith, because judgment was coming on them for their sins. Now, the voice of the Lord is also likened to the blast of the trumpet. On the Isle of Patmos, when John saw the glorified and risen Christ before him in all his blinding, effulgent glory, John, as you know, fell as a dead man when he saw the glorified and risen Messiah. He says this about the voice of Jesus when he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. John says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice a loud voice as of a trumpet. So the Lord's voice sounded to John like a trumpet. This description of the Lord's voice is repeated again in Revelation 4:1. John there says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." This, by the way, is one of the texts used by those who believe the rapture of the church will occur before the tribulation period, and that John being caught up into heaven is a miniature portrait of the rapture that will occur at large. And I think there's some validity to that, because you have the similarities with this and the rapture. First of all, the Lord speaks and it's like a trumpet. And the result of His voice calls John up. John is raptured up into heaven. And this happens after the message to the seven churches is given, i.e. after the church age. So after the church age, or the conclusion of the church age, will occur with this rapture of the church. That will be signaled, going back to the Feast of Trumpets, that will be signaled by the blowing of the trumpet. In this case, it will be the Lord's voice that will sound like the blast of the trumpet. So you see here the interesting correlations between the trumpet and the prophetic events yet to come with the rapture of the church. Going on, the trumpet in Israel was to be sounded by the Kohanim. The Kohanim meaning the priests, Aaron and his sons and their priestly descendants. They were given the sacred responsibility as part of the Old Covenant priesthood to sound the trumpet on special occasions. We learn of this in Exodus 28:1 and Numbers 10, which we're going to look at more extensively in the unfolding of this teaching on the Feast of Trumpets. And so, it is important that these trumpeteers make a clear and distinct sound when they blow these trumpets, so that the people of God may hear and understand the message. Now, there's some speculation that for each of these different functions of the blowing of the trumpets, that the blast of the trumpet was designed for each function. In other words, let me explain. When the trumpet blasts for Rosh Hashanah to begin, there was a certain staccato of blasts used. And for assembling the children of Israel together, or for going out to war, these also were accompanied by specific staccato blasts. So each function had a different type of blast rhythm or staccato blast to them. And so whenever they heard a certain blast being blown from the trumpets, they knew, it's time to go to war. Or it's time to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets and Rosh Hashanah. Numbers 10 probably is the most specific chapter in Scripture that deals with the nine specific purposes, occasions, and functions for the blowing of trumpets. When the trumpets were to be blown in Israel, they signified different things, or they highlighted different occasions. So let's look at what these occasions were in Numbers 10. Numbers chapter 10. The Lord says in verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Make two silver trumpets for yourself, and you shall make them of hammered work." you shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. So the trumpet here is used for calling the congregation and directing the movement of the camp. So under this blast of the trumpet, the 12 tribes of Israel were assembled together. It was used to call Israel, God's people, together. And this was a pragmatic way of doing it, especially when you think that there were some 1.5 to 3 million Israelites in the wilderness. A human voice would not carry far enough so that all these people could hear and know what to do. So the trumpet was the perfect instrument because of its amplitude and ability to sound louder than any other audible voice. The trumpet was used and everybody could hear it. I think it's interesting here that this trumpet is used to assemble Israel in the wilderness. Again, this could very well be a prophetic type signifying a larger and universal event yet to occur. And that would be the future regathering of the scattered Jewish people back into the land of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, Eretz Israel. How do I know that? Well, Isaiah 27:13 says this. So it shall be in that day. Now, contextually, in that day means at the end of days when the Messiah returns to establish His kingdom on earth from Jerusalem. He'll have to have a restored Jewish nation of Israel to do that. That's only logical. Anyway, in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria and who are outcasts in the land of Egypt and shall worship the Lord at the Holy Mount at Jerusalem, or in the Holy Mount at Jerusalem. And that agrees with what the Lord Jesus prophesied in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 concerning the regathering of dispersed Israel at the end of the tribulation when He returns. The Lord will send out His angelic agents with the blast of a trumpet, and they will gather the Jewish elect from the four winds of the earth. We read this in Matthew 24:31, prophesying the same event in Isaiah 27:13. And it reads, Jesus speaking here, and He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so that, again, speaks of the great calling and regathering of dispersed Israel back into their ancient homeland to live reign with their returning Messiah. Now we who are the body of Christ, we know that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, we will hear the trumpet of the rapture. The trumpet will sound, and it will gather the dead in Christ, and we which are alive, the elect of the church age, from all four corners of the earth. Well, we'll have to stop here. Be sure to write us, contact us for our free newsletter, and please pray about supporting our gospel outreaches to Israel. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.